Item number 10, Judicial Council Resolution, recognizing the service of African-American justices in the California courts. This is an action item. We have Bill Vickery. We have the Justice Martin Jenkins, Court of Appeal, First Appellate District, Division 3, and Vehicle.
Thank you, Chief. Council members, this historical event is directly related to your first and primary goal, and that is improving access, fairness, and diversity for the public of California. And so this celebrates a significant part of our history in California and a significant part of the history of our judicial branch. And to help us with that celebration, we have two specific guests with us, as indicated, Associate Justice Martin Jenkins, who currently serves on the First District Court of Appeal. He previously served on the U.S. Federal District Court, and prior to that, he began his judicial career with an appointment to the Municipal Court in 1989 by Governor George Duke Majan, and then subsequently in 1992, an appointment from Governor Pete Wilson to the Superior Court. And so he will be visiting with you in just a moment and commenting on both the history and presenting a resolution. We also have with us Dia Poole from our Office of Governmental Affairs. And Dia, as you all know, is a great superstar in our office who serves as a communication liaison for the Office of Governmental Affairs. And many of you who have participated in the Bench Bar Coalition know her well, because she is the Energizer Bunny that organizes and both the bar members and the judicial members and the court executives and others that participate in that effort to educate and advocate on behalf of the branch so effectively. Dia is a member of the AOC's Black History Month Committee, and at the invitation of the chair and vice chair of the California Legislative Black Caucus, Dia worked with legislative staff, the state capitol, museum curators, justices, judges, and their families, and several sponsoring organizations to call attention to the 50th anniversary of African-American justices in California. And as part of that, they produced a photographic exhibit entitled "And Justice for All," and you will see some background on that in a moment. And it was quite a momentous event, I thought, in the state capitol to both open the celebration of that and to see the exhibits in the rotunda of our California Capitol, where it stayed for a period of time. As I indicated earlier, Justice Jenkins will present a resolution for the council to adopt, marking 2011 as the 50th anniversary of the appointment of California's first African-American justice, and the 70th anniversary of the appointment of California's first African-American judge. Justice Edwin L. Jefferson was appointed as a justice in 1961 by Governor Edmund G. Brown, and he served on the California Court of Appeals, Second Appellate District, Division 4, from 1961 to 1975. 20 years earlier, in 1941, he was appointed a judge, a milestone, as he is reported to be the first African-American judge west of the Mississippi in our country. Judge Edwin Jefferson was succeeded to the bench by an individual that several of you know personally or knew personally, and that was his brother, Justice Bernard Jefferson. Justice Jefferson is the author of the California Evidence Bench Book, and more directly, many of the judges and justices know him because of his effort involved in the founding and the perpetuation and development of the California's judicial education programs. When I arrived in California and we went to the opening of the Judicial College, everybody celebrated the Bernie of the North, Bernard Witkin, and the Bernie of the South, Justice Bernie Jefferson. Since 1961, we've had 14 African-American justices who have served on the appellate courts. In addition, there have been two others that served on the Court of Appeal and then went on to serve on the Supreme Court. And then we've had one justice who has served both on the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeal. That's Justice Janice Rogers Brown. We currently have 6 African-American justices, 5 men and 1 woman, Justice Carol Codrington of the 4th District Court of Appeal, serving today. It's also noteworthy, I think, that one of the African-American justices served as a member of this body, but not as a judge, from 1974 to 1978. At the time, that individual was serving in the California State Assembly on the Judiciary Committee. And that's the late Justice John J. Miller of the California Court of Appeal, 1st Appellate District, Division 2, who served on the Court of Appeal from 1978 to 1985. The names of the courts, the justices, and the dates of service of all the honored justices can be found in the brochure in your binder as you go through it. The brochure accompanies a photographic exhibit that's down in the Great Hall of this building, and you saw earlier last month hanging in the anteroom of the council replicas of the photographs that were hanging in the state capitol. The exhibit details the judicial branch's efforts to promote diversity within the branch, and I hope you'll read through all of those materials. And now, Dia, if you would please take a moment and briefly recap the legislative activities recognizing the 50th anniversary and the exhibit in the state capitol and here in this building.
Thank you, Mr. Vickery. Chief Justice and members of the council, thank you for this opportunity to speak with you. When the California Legislative Black Caucus learned of the 50th anniversary and of the connection to the Judicial Council and the branch through Justice John Miller, they fully developed the 50th anniversary photographic exhibit in its entirety. The Administrative Office of the Court staff, working again with the Black History Month Committee and collaborating with numerous other partners, were only asked to provide the photographs. Only asked to provide the photographs and biographical information about the justices and consult with the designers. That was the extent to which we were asked to provide resources. Other than that, the caucus completely funded and installed in the windows under the dome of the state capitol the exhibit titled "And Justice for All." On Monday, April 25, 2011, Senator Curran Price, who chairs the caucus from Los Angeles, introduced Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 38, and later that same morning, Assemblymember Mike Davis from Los Angeles introduced Assembly Concurrent Resolution Number 47, memorializing the occasion and calling on the leadership of the executive, the judicial, and the legislative branches to participate in educational activities to inform the public and to highlight the work of these justices on the Supreme Court and Court of Appeal. And that day, the 5 of the justices and family members of 3 additional deceased justices were introduced on the floor of the legislature, and they included Presiding Justices Vance, Ray, and Candace Cooper, retired, Associate Justice Jeffrey Johnson, Associate Justice William Murray, and Associate Justice Carol Codrington. Also present was Susan Jefferson, the daughter of Justice Edwin Jefferson, and also the wives and children of the late Justices Alan Broussard and Leon Thompson. And we invite you to watch a very brief video that was produced for California Court News that further highlighted the occasion.
This day at the Capitol was a day to celebrate an important anniversary for the state of California. Both the Senate and the Assembly unanimously passed resolutions honoring 50 years of service by African Americans on the Court of Appeal.
And so today, Madam Speaker and members, I rise with the greatest of honor and pride on the diversity that we have accomplished in joining with the officers of the Court of California in this awesome celebration.
6 African Americans are currently serving in the appellate courts. Since the appellate courts were created in 1905, there have been only 15 African American justices throughout the entire state.
On the one hand, it's a measure of the progress that we've come as a state in the involvement of African Americans in the judiciary. And on the other hand, it could be said to be a measure of the difficulty that we had in absorbing African Americans into the judicial process.
The educational exhibit panels in the Grand Rotunda of the Capitol are sponsored by the California Legislative Black Caucus and the Administrative Office of the Courts. Family and friends of the honorees gathered to preview the display, which features the Honorable Edwin L. Jefferson. He is said to be the first African-American judge west of the Mississippi, appointed in Los Angeles in 1941. Then he became the first African-American justice in California in 1961. His daughter remembers him as a modest, unassuming man devoted to his profession.
My father loved the law. He loved being a judge. And wherever that led him, that's where he wanted to be. It's quite touching for us, quite touching, emotionally touching.
Justice William J. Murray, Jr. is one of the newest members of the appellate court. He says he is deeply indebted to those who came before him, and they are rightly honored this day.
It's about those trailblazers who fought the fight and exposed themselves to all the discrimination that occurred in the past and overcame that and blazed a trail for people like myself.
And looking to the future.
This is our former justice of the California Courts of Appeals. Remember, there's three branches of government, right?
This display might very well inspire the next generation to even greater diversity on the bench. I'm Leanne Kozak reporting from Sacramento for California Courts News.
Thank you. And indeed, that was the purpose behind the exhibit, was so that the thousands of California school children who visit the Rotunda each year would be able to see those pictures. And so I'd like to thank Mr. Bill Vickery and also Mr. Ron Overholt and Mr. Kurt Child, who also attended those April 25th ceremonies at the state capitol. Thank you.
Well, Dia, thank you for initiating that fine partnership with the legislature on doing this and commemorating a point in history to let us know what has been accomplished, but also to give us a benchmark about where we aspire to go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Jenkins, thank you for being here with us today.
Well, thank you, Bill, and to the Chief Justice Cantile Sakaue and the members of the Judicial Council. I know many of you by reputation, although I have never met most of you. I wasn't so very inspired when I saw that teacher speaking of the three branches of government and intimating that the judicial branch is a stepchild of the three. I think the resolution before you today and the photographic exhibit that accompanies it will go a great length toward educating our citizenry and, most importantly, young adults as to the illustrious history of the California judiciary. It's a privilege and honor to be with you here this morning to make just a few remarks. I promise you they will be brief, but the brevity of the remarks should not be any indication that the resolution before you is anything but significant, because it is. The resolution marks the 70th anniversary of the integration of the California courts and the 50th anniversary of the appointment of the first African-American justice to the Court of Appeal. It's interesting to note that the integration of the California judiciary occurred 13 years before the Supreme Court's landmark decision in Brown and 20 years before the first federal district court judge of African-American descent was confirmed by the United States Senate. It seems to me in that context, this resolution is axiomatic in the sense that we, the judicial branch, should acknowledge, recognize, and celebrate our history and the history of the participation of African-Americans as judicial officers. When you look at the photographic exhibit, at least for me, and those trailblazers who are depicted in that exhibit, it's really interesting and clear to me that men like Justice Edwin Jefferson heeded the call to public service, but we also know that given the times in which they lived and given the race relations in this country, that success was achieved at a great personal cost. And so we do well here today to consider and adopt this resolution in honor to these men and women, to their families, and this resolution will stand as a lasting testament to the legacy of their outstanding service, both to the branch and to the citizens of this great state. And finally, I note that the resolution you take up here today is completely consonant with our judicial branch goal to to ensure that the makeup of California's judiciary reflects the rich diversity of this state's residents. With your adoption of the resolution, you will unambiguously say to generations of young black men and women, in fact, to all who view the resolution and the exhibit, that public service in California's judiciary is an attainable goal, attainable if they are willing to make the kind of commitment to excellence that is so manifest in the careers of the men and women we do honor here today. So with that, I wholeheartedly request your unanimous adoption of the resolution. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you, Justice Jenkins. Thank you, Ms. Poole. Tremendous presentation. Any comments or questions at this time?
I move the adoption.
Second.
I think we have, again, a majority of seconds to Judge Pine's motion. And I know that based on our enthusiasm, it's emblematic of the pride that we have in our branch and our commitment to excellence and diversity. Thank you for this presentation. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Chief, if I might, for the public that may be listening, the photographic exhibit that we've been talking about will be on the display in the Great Hall of this building, the Hiram Johnson Building, from June 20th to July 14th, and it's open to the public. There'll be a brief ceremony on Thursday, July 7th at 1:30 p.m., and the public is also invited to view the African Americans in the California Courts exhibit that it was created by the California Judicial Center Library, which is currently on display in the archives room, which is just immediately outside the clerk of court's office area in the public viewing area and is open to the public. So we would encourage people that have the time to stop by and take a look at the exhibit to see, a significant part of our history. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Before we close in memoriam, and I have a few closing remarks, any further discussion or comment? So I do want to recap our last 2.5 days together, only to say that it's been an incredibly rich time for council to discuss matters facing the branch. We've had the kind of conversation and discussion that, to me, is symbolic of why all of you are here on council, because we really had tremendous input, give and take, back and forth, rigorous, exciting conversation that I know will move the branch forward. And then at night, of course, we had our bittersweet moments with saying goodbye to our AOC family, saying so long to Justice Huffman on this council and to Steve Nash, but also knowing that we will see them differently in different iterations, still helping with branch governance and still serving the public. So I thank all of you for your energy and commitment that we've had here. It's been tremendous. I think we've had unprecedented meetings and discussions. I look forward to the rest of the Judicial Council year and here on out. And when we conclude today's meeting, I want to mention judicial colleagues who have recently deceased. All are retired. And they are three judges who served on the Municipal Court of Los Angeles, as well as Judge Robert Ahern, Superior Court of Santa Clara County, Judge Leighton Hatch, Municipal Court of Sacramento County, Judge Benjamin Travis, Superior Court of Alameda County, and Judge Frank Peterson, Superior Court of Del Norte County. And I apologize, I misspoke. There are not three on the Municipal Court of Los Angeles County. And we honor these four men for their service to their courts and to the cause of justice. I would also indicate in closing that our next scheduled business meeting is August 26th, But as many of you know, depending on the status of the budget, we will be convening shortly after that is signed by the governor. And we will try to give you as much notice as humanly possible, but all of you know how fluid that is, but we will try to get that information out to you. Thank you again for your time, attention, and thank you to your families.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.